Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't track my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin tail bro.
Show, they got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black on black power moves. You telling lies, if you think this shit won't be televised. Black power, be scared guys, they be standing there like they paralyzed, huh? We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth a crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fucking promise.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin tail bro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, yeah, that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack fucked up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, nbpp.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police department to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prison. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation. Black power, black power, black power. You are listening to the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense nightly broadcast. We are broadcasting to you live here in the belly of the beast from America, KKK, but we're broadcasting all over the planet Earth. Yes, brothers and sisters, it is that time of the year where the biggest spell, one of the biggest spells ever launched on the planet is being carried out right now as we speak. We got our beautiful people walking around here with cracker white snow on their mind with the damn worship of some fantasy of a European coming down your chimney and bringing your children their every wish. It's such foolishness. But there are those who are awakening. But for those of you who are still holding on and still wanting to worship the white man and justifying in your mind why you should be perpetuating this lie, a blatant lie that you are perpetuating to your children, perpetuating not only the lie of Santa Claus, but somehow trying to tie it to white Jesus. It makes no sense what's going on here in 2021, about to be 2022. The foolishness must stop. And for those of you who are listening to this broadcast, you must be on a different frequency. But sometimes even those of us who are on a different frequency, you still might be kind of straddling the fence, or you might not know, you know, just how to articulate thoroughly why it is that we don't celebrate Christmas, the origins of it, and things of that nature. So what we're going to do is we're going to do a series starting tonight. And this series will be a political education where we're gathering some of the greatest minds who've done the research. Oshua Kwesi, Winoka Washidi, Dr. Khaled. There are many greats who have done the work and have brought us the truth of the origins of Christmas, where it comes from, have done the research to show how many of the things that our ancestors celebrated were warped, stolen, and represented to the masses, and how the continuation of these traditions that emulate so-called white supremacy are in fact a mental genocide, and how it's not just, oh, just ignore it and don't worry about it. And unfortunately, our people are operating on autopilot, not using logic, just carrying on slave tradition after slave tradition after slave tradition and passing it on generation after generation. And it must stop. So what we're going to do is we're going to come out the gate swinging. This series, part one, starts tonight, is entitled More Reasons, No More Lessons to Wake the Dead. Stop it with the fake holidays already. That's right. More Lessons to Wake the Dead. Stop it with the fake holidays already. And what better way to kick it off than hearing from our Black Power General, Dr. Khaled Muhammad. And this clip is entitled The Truth About Christmas. Wake up. Wake your asses up. Wake up and cut the bull crap. Stop living in La La Land.
It is said that they make over 47% of their profit from the year just during this time of the year. And who do you think they make much of it off of? Us. We go in and buy everything on the shelves. We go in these stores, and sometimes when it's Christmas Day, by the time Christmas Day comes, it ain't nothing left on the store shelves. And we be running up and down the aisles mad because they ain't got nothing else left on the shelves, looking for something else to buy, looking for another peck of wood to spend our money with. Over 47% of their sales just during this time of the year, and they don't even believe in Jesus at all. Look at it for what it's worth. First shocker, Jesus was not born on the 25th of December. Jesus was not born on the 25th of December. They have celebrated Jesus' birth. They have celebrated on December 17th before. They've celebrated, even if you will look at it, January 6th before. And now they come to January 25th. Let's take a look at it. December, yes. December 25th, January 6th. I'm confused, but you're going to be confused before I finish. You think you really know what's up. You're going to really be confused when I get through tonight. You will find out before you leave out of here tonight. Hell, you may not even know how old you are. You may not even know what month you were born in. You may not even know what day it is, what year it is, what month it is, and you may not even know what time it is before I finish tonight. So I say December, I say January. Wait until you see how confused these crackers are who got us celebrating this stuff. In his book, African People and European Holidays, A Mental Genocide, Reverend Ishaka Musa Banashango quotes from black historical facts on the life of Jesus. Listen carefully. December 25th was the birthday, December 25th as the birth date of Jesus Christ was not adopted until 325 CE Christian era AD at the Nicene Council in an effort to harmonize and systematize the complex and diverse Christian dogma which existed at that time. A council of 318 bishops, white bishops, met in the city of Nicaea, in the kingdom of what is today Turkey, at the mandate of the Roman Emperor Constantine, and that's Bithynia. The date accepted by the majority of the European bishops assembled was not finalized until the year 354 Christian era, or 354 AD. 354 years after Jesus was gone, these crackers at the Nicene Conference in what is Turkey today determined that they would observe his birthday, but they wanted his birthday to be in connection with certain pagan backward white holidays and pagan backward white festivals. You must know something about the winter solstice. You must know something about the Roman Saturnalia. You must know something about Nimrod. You must know something about all of this in order to understand what Christmas is all about. You must know about something about the star Sirius in order to know something about Christmas. And when you understand all of this, you will find that these crackers have got it all mixed up. Let's go to the World Book Encyclopedia. Where are we going? This is call and response. Talk black to me. Talk back to me. Where are we going? We will turn to the World Book Encyclopedia, Volume 3. The Egyptians, who? The cracker can't tell the whole truth, so he says were probably, but that's the best y'all can do, you know what I'm saying? Were probably the first to adopt a mainly solar calendar. They noted that the star Sirius reappeared in the eastern star, this star reappeared in the eastern sky just before sunrise, after several months of invisibility. They also discovered that the annual flood of the Nile River came soon after Sirius appeared. They used this event to fix their calendar and came to recognize a year of 365 days, made up of 12 months, each 30 days long, and an extra 5 days added at the end. But we even tightened it up more than that, but they're not giving us credit for it here. It goes on to say, and this is really interesting, it says the Julian calendar, and it talks about the Gregorian calendar. The Gregorian calendar and the what? Julian calendar. By the time of Julius Caesar, the accumulated error caused by the incorrect length of the Roman year, white year, and by the occasional failure to add extra days, at the proper times, had made the calendar about 3 months ahead of the seasons. Winter occurred in September, and autumn came in the month now called July. In 46 B.C., Caesar asked the astronomer Sosigenes to review the calendar and suggest ways for improving it. Acting on Sosigenes' suggestions, Caesar ordered the Romans to disregard the moon in calculating their calendars. He divided the year into 12 months of 31 and 30 days, except for February, and had only which had only 29 days. Every fourth year, it would have 30 days. To realign the calendar with the seasons, Caesar ruled that the year we know as 46 B.C., should have 445 days in that year. The Romans called it the year of confusion. What did they call it? Now listen to this. You with me? The Romans renamed Quintilius, that was the name of the month, Quintilius, to honor, you see, at that time the months had different names. The months were named Quintilius, Sextilius. They were named, all of these names, we had September, October, November, December, Sextilius, Quintilius, Junius, Aprilis, Martius. This was the name of the months at that time. So the month that was called Quintilius at that time, Julius Caesar renamed the month Quintilius to honor himself. And so the month Quintilius became July. No lie. The month July used to be called what? But the emperor Julius Caesar renamed it after who? Himself. Now we're getting into some real egos here. And we follow this stuff today. Sextilius, now that was Quintilius, now we on what? Sextilius was named August, named what? By the Roman Senate to honor the Emperor Augustus. Now here's another vein cracker, changes another month of the year and names it after himself, and now Augustus, he was jealous because Caesar had changed Quintilius to July. And so he changed Sextilius to August. He hasn't got mad yet. According to tradition, Augustus, you listen to me, moved a day from February. This is some power now. This cracker took a day from February to add it to August to make sure that August was just as long as July. Wait a minute. Before Jesus, they counted forward. Some scholars say Jesus lived 32 years. Some scholars say Jesus lived 33 years. Now, did he live 32 years or did he live 33 years? After Jesus was gone, they called that A.D., they started counting, but they counted backwards before. Then they started counting forward after he was gone. If I seem confused, don't worry about it. They were even more confused than I am, and we all followed him today. They counted backwards before Jesus, and then after Jesus, they started counting forward. So this is the year 1990 what? You sure? 1,993 years what? After Jesus. Is that right? But suppose Jesus lived 32 years instead of 33. Then that would make this 1992. But let's suppose he lived 33 years instead of 32 years, then it would be the exact year. So the question is, Are you 17 or are you 18? Are you 23 or are you 24? Are you 42 or are you 44? Are you 55 or are you 56? That's the question. And which month were you born in? Were you really born in August or was it Sextilius? Were you really born in July or was it Quintilius? Or do you really know? And every year or every few years, the cracker changed the time. He said, gee whiz, from now on, I want you guys to set your watches as of tomorrow at 12:01. At 12:01 tomorrow night, it will no longer be 1 a.m. when it's 1 a.m., when it normally was 1 a.m. It'll now be 2 a.m. because we're saving time. And then next year, he'll change it and say, look, guys, set them back. We don't need to save anymore. We've saved up enough time. Then 2 or 3 years will pass. He'll say, tomorrow night, as of 12:01, set your watches, guys, this time 1 hour back. Instead of 1 a.m., it'll just be 12 midnight. Or instead of 10 a.m. in the morning, make sure you know that it's really 9 a.m. I know a few years ago, it was 11 a.m., and then we went back to 10 a.m. So the question is, what time is it? What time is it? Then he named the days. Sun day. Monday. Moon day. Huh? Here we tripping on the sun and the moon days. You don't know what day it is. We don't know what time it is. We don't know what year it is. We don't know what month it is. You don't know how old you are. I'm not going to get into we don't know what our names are. Have lost our names, our language, our religion, our culture, our God, our folkways, our mores, our norms, and most of us have lost our minds. So anything I say up here tonight, you can't offer no argument. None whatsoever. We have to depend on the divine intervention of God Almighty to get us out of this thing, because this devil has got this thing mixed up and fixed up. He got it hooked up. And he's trying to get an extension of time. He's trying to fool God that his time ain't up. Can you get ready for that? He's trying to fool God. Change the calendars. Change the time. Change their names. Even go into a month and take days out of the month and add it to another month and just juggle it around the way he wants to juggle it around. Now, do we follow God or do we follow the devil? Do we follow God or do we follow the white man? Now, the book of Jeremiah, what book? Jeremiah, the 10th chapter. What chapter? Let me make sure it's the 10th chapter. Jeremiah, the 10th chapter, beginning with the first verse. You ready? It says, hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord. Learn not the way of the heathen. Learn not the way of who? And be not dismayed at the signs of heaven. For the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest. Cuts what? A tree out of the forest. The work of the hands of the workman with the axe. And they deck it with gold, with silver and with gold. And they fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. The Bible in the book of Jeremiah says that the Christmas tree is a vain and an empty practice. It's the custom of a heathen. How many heathens in the house? Don't raise your hand. How many don't have a Christmas tree at home? Let me see. How many don't have a Christmas tree? How many say, but Oh, it's fun. I mean, what will we tell the children? We're trying to tell the big children something now. What sense does it make, brothers and sisters, for you to work your fingers to the bone, working double time, triple time, and overtime, constantly struggling, striving, and straining to bring a smile to your baby's face and to bring joy to your baby's hearts and souls, and then you go and give the credit to an imaginary white man, taking the credit from yourself, taking the honor from yourself, taking the glory and the praise and the respect from yourself, and giving the credit to a white man who doesn't even exist. And your babies grow up loving subconsciously white folks, believing that a fat white man with a red and white suit on is responsible for bringing them joy, when it was really you who brought them joy. Why not tell your babies, Mommy got this for you. Daddy got this for you. This is your zawadi or your present or your gift that came from Mommy's hard work, from Daddy's hard work. Anything wrong with that? Then your baby grows up bonded with you. Your baby grows up honoring you and respecting you as the power and the force in her life or in his life that does that which brings them happiness and brings them joy. But you'd rather give the joy away and channel it through a white man who's an imaginary, illusionary white man. Skinny Santa Claus. Fat Santa Claus, tall Santa Claus, small Santa Claus, Santa Claus with cotton all over his damn face. My little son Farrakhan would probably grab it, and when Kalfani was coming up, they would probably grab that stuff and smack it. And call, brothers, you're going to have to help me. There he is. He's supposed to have some flying. Turn it around the other way. Oh, he got him on both sides. This is double trouble. He's supposed to have some flying reindeer. This is supposed to be Rudolph. What kind of merry madness is this? And you tell your babies this lie about a flying reindeer. They will come down a chimney and you living over in Fort Greene. No, you ain't got no damn chimney in Fort Greene. Or whatever project you in. Cracker can go all over the world and come down some chimneys that you ain't even got. And then you wonder why your babies grow up to be liars. Your babies grow up to be liars because you start them out on lies at an early age. You tell them about a cracker that flies around with eight reindeer, flying from house to house, crackers doing something for niggers. That's the way they talk. And it don't happen like that. Huh? You teach them about rabbits that lay chicken eggs at Easter time. And you wonder why your babies grow up to be liars when you started them out with lies. And you feed them the lie and you reinforce the lie. Every year you reinforce the lie. Even all during the year you tell them that a white man is going to come, if you be good, Santa Claus is going to bring you something good. What a fool you are. Nobody in here is the fools who didn't come. Nobody in here. Anybody in here? Nobody in here. Look at this cracker. Got a bag full of gifts. One bag, and it's full enough for everybody. Over 5 billion people on the face of the earth. Papa's got a brand new bag. Every year he got a brand new bag, and it's full. How could you do it? Come to some of your houses right now and sneak up on you, and you don't know we coming. You got this cracker hanging up somewhere. You got your dead tree right there in the house. Talking about you, Ife, Abab, Bubakari, Ijani, Kool, Lumumba, Osajifo, Khalid, Kareem. And got a cracker Christmas tree in the middle of your house. What's the matter with you? What is wrong with us that we will follow these people to this degree? The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan ask us the question, whose Christmas are you celebrating? Whose Christmas are you celebrating? Why does the tree have balls on the tree? What do the balls stand for? The balls represent the sun. Are you a sun worshiper? The wreath on the door represents the sun. Are you a sun worshiper? Do you have to get a mistletoe just to get some sugar? Is that the only way you can get some sugar, is stand under some mistletoe? That's for white folks. Scared. Honey, are we having sex today? It's Wednesday. That's foolishness. We don't have to do that kind of foolishness to keep up with these people. The star. Our brothers and sisters have studied this star. Our ancestors have studied this star for a long, long time. In Kemet or in Egypt, we have studied this star. We have followed the star Sirius. And even when we go among our people, the Dogons, we will find that the Dogons have been able, you could go way back up in the jungle among our brothers and sisters, our ancestors. When you study our history and our history, way back up in the woods, they had never been to any school of astronomy under the white man. And they could walk out barefoot, look up in the sky and point to a star in the sky and tell you that that star passes once every 25,000 years. Tell you at another point that star passes once every 50,000 years. How did they know these things? It was coming up out of their genetic memory bank of the mastermind, of the God in person, of the black man and black woman. Make no mistake about it, brothers and sisters. You are from the family of God Almighty. There is no mystery God. There is no spook God. Send a shout out to the gods and earths in the house. Peace, God. I'm saying. There is no mystery God. God is in your person, black man and woman. There is a part of you, every one of you, under the sound of my voice. There is a part in you that is infinite. There is a part in you that is all-wise and all-knowing and does everything right and exact. Is that right? Can I prove it? Yes. There are certain things that can happen to us. We don't even have the knowledge of how to heal it or what to do. But there's a natural healing process in the divine makeup of the black man and woman that automatically starts the healing process. Once the atom of life is planted in the womb of the black woman by the black man, there's an infinite part of us, a God part of us, a goddess part of us that goes to work to shape and to form and to evolve and to develop that new life that has been placed in the triple darkness of the black woman's room. And the black woman's, the temple, the room in the womb of her temple. You must understand, brothers and sisters, that God is in the person of the black man and the black woman. Let me cover a few more points. White people believed during the wintertime that the sun was dead. Can you imagine being that dumb? They thought it got cold because the sun was dead. So they would like torches. They would build fires and put torches and fires everywhere. I'm almost finished because I promised that because of the audience and because of an earlier discussion of us following up with a part two, that we would not hold you long tonight. But they would light torches, build fires, and put the fires and torches everywhere, thinking that all of these lights, all of these fires, would give warmth, energy, power, and fire to the what? To the sun. Here the sun burns at 14,072 degrees Fahrenheit, 853,000 miles in diameter. And these fools thought that they could give energy to the sun by building some fires and setting some lights and torches up on the earth. Your lights around your house, your lights on your Christmas tree. The lights represent what? The white man's effort, his backward pagan effort at trying to give life and energy to the sun, because he believed that the sun was dead in the wintertime. They cut down the evergreen tree because it's evergreen. It amazed them, and it was a symbol of life. And so they cut down the evergreen tree and used it as a symbol of life and as a symbol that the sun would live again. Some of them worshiped the god among their people called Saturn. And that is why they set up the festival of the Roman Saturnalia.
Black Power. Now that clip was from Dr. Khaled Abdul-Muhammad, The Truth About Christmas. Now we'll play the clip from Baba Oshua Kwesi entitled African Origins of Christmas, Symbolism and Myths.
Welcome to the Carl Nelson Show on Washington, D.C.'s 1450 WOL Radio and live around the world on WOLDCNews.com.
And we're back, folks, with lecturer Brother Oshua Kwesi. Brother Kwesi, Hotep, good to have you back, Brother Kwesi.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead. Because this seems around sort of...
I would say, yes, sir. It's an honor to be back on the your radio show, the African Community University radio.
Right, because we want to tell folks who are getting excited coming next week is Christmas, and where did Christmas all start from? You know, help us out here, because a lot of folks are probably on their way to the mall right now, do that shopping and buying presents, and, you know, they set up the Christmas tree and all the traditional trimmings that come along with this holiday. Just explain to our folks how this came about.
Yes, sir. Well, this is a time that nobody wants to hear anything that might disrupt all the lighting and twinkles and all these things that's going on, especially the hysteria of what's going on in the malls and all those kind of type of things. And first of all, I'd like to say that we did this program in the beginning of December on the African origin of Christianity and the origin of Christmas and holidays. And for PKV, Positive Kinetic Vision, and we have to say that a lot of brothers and sisters who heard your radio show definitely came out, and unfortunately they had to turn away a lot of people. But in the future we'll have to make that work for everybody. So it's good to know that people do want to know, Brother Carl, what this all is, instead of just getting caught up in the hysteria of the holiday. And a lot of things that I talk about, Brother Carl, is not something that... You can find these things on. In fact, National Geographic did a thing just a couple of days ago on the origin of Christmas and where these things came from and how it was developed out of European pagan holidays. And when I speak of European pagan holidays, I'm speaking of the Germanic tribes. And you guys, excuse me here for a minute, because during this time of seasons, you know, the colds and the flu, and I unfortunately got a cold at this time. But as I was saying, a lot of these things come out of the Germanic tribes and so forth, and it's been initiated in part of the whole American holiday today. After all, when we look at Europeans, they came here from Europe, okay? So we see many whites who are in this country, they came from Europe. So they carried many of these customs that they had with them. When we look at the tree, which is a very prominent fixture in the whole Christmas holiday. That came from the Germanic tribes, and the Germanic tribes actually worshipped that tree. They worshipped that tree because it represented Thor, and Thor was one of the Nordic gods, okay, the Viking gods, so that they actually worshipped. It's still the name Thursday that we have in the week is named after Thor, in fact. In fact, the Trinity of the week of whether Thursday, Friday, is all based off of, it actually is Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So we see Thor as the father and Woden as the son and Freya as the mother. And they actually bow down and worship this tree because it stayed green year-round. You can imagine a tree staying green year-round and how the Germanic tribe saw this tree in the depth of winter when everything became barren and all of nature became barren but that tree, the pine tree. So it became a tree that they actually worshiped. So with the symbolism behind that tree today still plays the same role that it played with the Germanic tribes as well as other Europeans, okay, who had that tree, is the bowing down of the tree to get your gift. It's still the bowing down to Thor. It's bowing down to the Germanic tribes that we see and that was carried over from the European world. Now, again, when we look at the whole Santa Claus, or whether he be Kris Kringles, or and all these other various names and so forth that we see of this character that is referred to as Santa Claus, who actually hypnotizes our children and many of us in terms of bringing us gifts and so forth, all this is still part of the dramatic holidays, or going back even before that time with the Greeks and Romans, meaning that the earliest mention of, or we see of this character of Santa Claus is actually a corruption of the name St. Nicholas, okay? Now, St. Nicholas, he was a Roman Catholic bishop who lived in the 4th century. And St. Nicholas, a bishop of Myra, the saint honored by the Greeks and Latin around the 6th of December. But what's interesting about the name, when we look at Webster's Dictionary, when we look at St. Nick, now, Webster's Dictionary refers to St. Nick as the devil. Now, this is not something that Quasi is creating. It's the connection that they have with St. Nick and the connection with this character of Santa Claus is, and Webster's is referred to as the devil. Now, in Greece, he was also called Cronus. Now, anyone familiar with Western art would see Cronus as a character who's actually eating his babies because Cronus actually feared that his children would take over his throne. So you see these pictures of Cronus actually eating his babies. You see the blood flowing down the baby. The head is not on the baby. Now, this is a very powerful Western art, okay, of Cronus. This is not something that's obscure in the Western world. It's a very prominent part of Western art of Cronus. Now, Cronus becomes this character that we know as Santa Claus as well. Now, I know this may be hard, Brother Carl, for some people when we understand the symbolism behind the holidays and so forth. But one of the things, as I said, with Cronus eating his babies and the blood is flowing down the baby, this is the symbol of the candy cane, okay? And the little elf or baby attached to the candy cane. It, the story is told in the symbols. But, of course, if you don't know the story and the origin of the story, you just see the symbol as it is. So when you see the candy cane, and I show pictures of this to show without question that this is how these things came. Now, of course, when the Romans came in and took over Greece, Cronus becomes Saturnalia. Okay. Now, Saturnalia, like Cronus, still played the same type of role, is that he also killed his babies. He feared that he did not want his children to overtake his throne, so he did not bring them gifts, and this character becomes Saturnalia. So this becomes the Santa Claus character, okay, that we see in the Western world or what we see in America today, okay, unbeknownst to us. Now, some of these things, interesting enough, that I've lectured on this for many years about Saturnalia and Cronus and how became part of the Christmas holiday. But, of course, for those people who want to know, I mean, some of these things, as I said, Brother Carl, are right there on National Geographic, that they even talk about these things themselves. Mm-hmm.
And that's interesting because we all go out and, you know, and we see these tree lots and we even got some of our folks selling the trees and they don't know, you know, it's just a money venture for most folks, but they don't know people put these in their homes and they don't know, you know, the origin of why you have a Christmas tree.
No, well, it's like everything else, you know, it's like Las Vegas, you know. I mean, if you want to take people's money, you got to have a lot of things going on, you know. So you like going to Vegas is like going to a big carnival, you know, lights and bells and all kind of things. And if the people who, you know, leave Las Vegas broke, okay, in some cases they've lost everything. And it's pretty much what the holiday does to many people. They get caught up into because it's really about picking up the gross national product. And even those of us who are supposed to be of the faith of a Christian, you know, and so forth, and even if one goes by the Bible, as some people say they go by the Bible, okay, I don't know if they go by it or whether they go in it, but even if you went in it, you would find that in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 2 and 6, it refers to that that's the way of the heathen. Now, keep in mind that heathen is a German term that means a heath dweller. Okay, and a heath dweller, these were the pagans. These were the people who were uncivilized. But back to Jeremiah, this is, says these are the people. They say they cut the tree out of force. So here the biblical account is given reference to these Germanic tribes and what they did, okay, these heath dwellers, okay, where we get to, again, where we get the name heathen from, where they actually cut the tree, and they talk about in Jeremiah where they deck it with silver and gold, and they say that this is the way of the heathen. Okay, other Germanic tribes that we see in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 2 and 6, and it's right there. Okay, but again, the people are in a hypnotic state right now. Even though we depend on trees giving us oxygen, they practically cut down the whole forest, you know, this time of the year for people to put a pine tree, you know, right in their home without people asking any questions in relationship to this. But this is about for us to think about what is going on, okay, to see that why are these things here, okay? These things are here, the whole Germanic tribes, the pagan customs of Europe that you see that people are caught up in. You've got to get the people out to spend their money. This is the time of the year, okay, that they depend on people spending money. This is the time of the year that picks up the gross national product. And that's what it's really all about.
In reference to the holidays, I think Reverend Ashakamusa Barshango, who wrote a great book on African people and European holidays, A Mental Genocide. And that's what it is when we see what's going on with these holidays that we're locked into and we buy into it more than anybody else.
All right. Hang on a second, Brother Kwesi, because we've got to take a break here. We've got a traffic and weather update. And we want to get into the Immaculate Conception, the birth of Jesus and all of that.
And now back to the Carl Nelson Show.
On Washington, D.C.'s 1450.
1450 WOL Radio.
And we're back, folks, discussing the Christmas season with the Brother Ashra Kwesi. He's lectured on this for a lot of years, and folks have found out information they never heard before. Brother Kwesi started out with the tree. But what about the other issues, the other things surrounding Christmas, the Immaculate Conception, the birth of Christ? Where did all that come from?
Well, first of all, we have to go back to our own African ancestors. And this is where the story originated from. Although we see that the European version of it, without the African story, there would not have been a European story. And there are temples there back in Egypt that we call, that our ancestors referred to as Kemet, going back thousands of years, telling of this ancient spiritual story of Asar, Aset, and Haru that the Greeks referred to as Osiris, Isis, and Horus. Now, there are temples that, as you know, Carl, for 32 years of my life, I returned back to Kemet, revealing a lot of this information to many brothers and sisters who return back with us. And one of the places that we go is one of the world's first and earliest recorded holy cities called Abtu, that the Arabs refer to as Abydos. And here is the earliest recording of a holy birth. Here's a story that the Kemetic Africans of the Nile Valley, that we refer to as ancient Egyptians today, in a shrine called the Ptah Soker Shrine. Here we see Aset. She is impregnating herself, okay, by her husband Asar. And here we see her impregnated. And in this Ptah Soker Shrine, Brother Carl, At one time, we saw her on a donkey. In the early 80s, she was on a donkey. That has been chiseled out, and you see her pregnant. This is the earliest story of a virgin birth and immaculate conception story. When the Greeks came in, they actually copied this story of the holy birth. Now, even though they at one time the Greeks worshipped Aset, okay, in the form of Isis, and then, of course, when they were conquered by the Romans, they equally picked up this holy story of the Madonna and child, where she gave birth to her holy child, Haru. Now, this story goes back over 10,000 years ago, an ancient spiritual story. Now, the Romans, during their period, they actually worshipped her in what is known as the Herculaneum worship of the goddess Aset or Isis. They carried her throughout their empire. They carried her to Gaul, which is now France today, okay, to Germanic tribes and so forth. Now, when many people travel throughout the European countries and they see the Black Madonna worshipped in France at the Notre Dame and worshipped in Poland, worshipped in Spain, many people ask, why is it a Black Madonna in Europe? That Black Madonna is Aset. That is the ancient African Kemetic virgin birth story that our ancestors created thousands of years ago. But it was during the time of the Byzantine Roman Christians who decided to take this story, but now we see the de-Africanizing of Aset into the European version of the Mary and Jesus story. When you look and ask, why do we see the Black Madonna in the cellar of the Vatican's? I have pictures of this. I showed it to the lecture when I was there at PKV, beginning of December. Pope John Paul II, he is the one that had no problems worshiping the Black Madonna and having visual pictures of him shown watching worshiping, excuse me, the Black Madonna. That Black Madonna in the cellar of the Vatican, as I said, throughout Europe, is the goddess Aset. That is the original story. That is the secret. When the story of the Da Vinci Code movie came out, they alluded to her in a negative sense in terms of pagan and heathen. When it's referred to something coming up out of Africa, then, of course, it's referred to as pagan and heathen, even though I've dealt with the heathen and the pagans that deal with the Germanic tribes and the custom of the Christmas holiday and the symbolism that I just talked about. But this is ancient African spirituality that was incorporated into the making of what we see as the Madonna and child that we see in the Western world today. Now, I know that may be hard for people to see that, considering that we are in this period right now of the, as we see, the birth of the European Jesus. But actually, it was around the birth of the sun. It's our ancient ancestors in the Kemetic Nile Valley who saw the birth of the sun at December the 25th. So Haru, that I talked about a second ago, became the personification of the sun at December the 25th. When the Europeans created this story from a character named Serapis, they took from the ancient African Nile Valley story, as I said a second ago. This is all based off of stellar as well as solar events. Now, I know people listening to this, this may be hard for people to understand, but right now we are in what is actually this day, December the 21st, makes this the winter solstice. This will be the time that the sun is going to its most lowest point. In fact, it will be the darkest days coming all the way up to December the 25th will be the birth of the sun. This is told on the temples and tombs of Egypt for thousands of years. That the Europeans, when we look at the Yuletide literally means the birth of the sun. Now, when we look at the European images of the Mary and Jesus, we got caught into white idolatry or the worship of white images and not understanding that this was about cosmology, meaning that when you see the Virgo, that is where they made the Mary from, the Virgo. The sun at December the 25th becomes the European Jesus. All this is based off of cosmology. When you look at the Western church and the symbolism of the church, one has to ask, why do you see one big circle symbolize a zodiac with 12 little circles inside of the large circle? That is the sun going through the constellation. This actually told to us, but if we don't know the symbols, we can't see any of these things that is going on today. So, of course, people would say, so you're saying there wasn't a Jesus? Well, but first of all, what we know of Western version of Christianity was created at the Conference of Nicene in 325 A.D. As I said before, when the Greeks came on the scene, conquered Egypt, Alexander, who came in, conquered Egypt, took over, they wanted to be worshipped on the throne of Egypt. So they created and corrupted Asar into this Serapis. Later on, when the Byzantines came in, Serapis emulated into the creation of a Serapis Jesus. Now, there were African Christians who did not go along with a lot of things that the Romans were doing. They were the Gnostic Christians. They were like a conduit of the ancient spiritual story that I'm talking about. They came from the Nile Valley from observation of the stellar events in the heavens that were great heroes, became a personification of the movement of the various sun and the stars that they had part of their initiation. So when you understand the ecumenical conferences like Nicaea, Constantinople, and all these things, and see that this was the creation of European Christianity based off of what they took out of the Nile Valley. For instance, in Ephesus in 431 A.D., Mary's title, the Mother of God, was made official and incorporated into prayers. So here we see that this happened in 431 A.D., the Mother of God, the title of the Virgin Mary, sanctioned by the Council of Ephesus in 431 A.D. Anyone can go to Webster's Dictionary and look up Mother of God. And it will tell you that that title of the Virgin Mary was sanctioned at this council. God had nothing to do with this at that conference of Ephesus in 431 A.D. But what the Gnostics did not agree with was the destroying of the spiritual concept of what our ancestors taught. This time of the year, right now, the winter solstice we're in now, they called that the Ka Mes. That's the ancient Kemetic word. It literally means a spiritual birth, Ka-mes. Interesting enough that when you go to Bible Dictionary and it says the origin, even though they don't understand the origin of the word Christmas or in its beginning, but that word is formulated from two words, Christ and mess. That came from Ka-mes. That means spiritual birth. That spiritual birth was told thousands of years ago, showing that this is the time of a spiritual birth, a spiritual beginning, from the cycle of the old sun coming into a new birth. And this is what we see now when people are talking about the end of the world, it is supposed to take place today, and all these things at 12:21. This is the end of the cycle for the new birth of the sun, for a new Ka-mes, or spiritual birth. That later on, the Romans took that in the formulating of the Western world's version of Christianity at these ecumenical conferences, and it became Christmas.
All right, hang on a second, Brother Kwesi. We've got to take a break here. 800-450-7876, number to call. Speak to Brother Ashra Kwesi, discussing the season, Christmas, and all that entails. We'll take your phone calls on 1450 WOL right after this.
And now back to the Carl Nelson Show.
On Washington, D.C.'s 1450.
1450 WOL Radio.
And we're back, folks, with Brother Ashra Kwesi discussing the season, Christmas as it is, and all the stories and fables around Christmas. This is not to really turn you off. This is just to educate you so you know what's going on. And when you go to those Christmas dinners and Christmas parties, you'll be able to explain better to folks. Don't get upset if they don't agree with you, though. 800-450-7876, number to call. If you have a question for Dr. Kwesi, let's go to Dr. Ed in D.C. Dr. Ed, you're on with Ashra Kwesi.
Hi, Brother Carl Nelson. Good to be with you, and good to be with a good doctor today, too. And on your talk about the Black Madonna, which is all the way through Europe, and even in Germany, they call it Schwarze Madonna. Now, and the German word Schwarze means black. I am a scientist, PhD scientist, and I give honors to my grandmother, who was instilling me knowledge of the Bible. And this zodiac calendar that you referred to, that calendar is even used by the astronomers and astrophysicists all over the world, even by NASA, who send aircraft and spacecraft up into space. and astronauts apart to read the skies and the constellations from the zodiac calendar that the doctor was referring to a few minutes ago. And this is very, very important because we teach our children, and I teach my kids when I teach science in the university, that we were the first scientists on Earth. And I lend credit to what you have been discussing on your show, and that this is a very important topic you refer to, even in the Bible. And the zodiac calendar refers to the precession of the rotation of Earth's axis by the gravitational field of the moon and the sun and the stars and all that. It takes about 26,000 years for the Earth to possess one complete circle around. And that's been only recently discovered by modern scientists. But guess what? The Egyptians already knew about this, and it's also referred in the Bible, in the book of Isaiah. If you go to the 66 books of the Holy Bible, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 19, verse 19, it is referred to. That precession rate is referred to as God appointed the builders of the Great Pyramids, right? And that pyramid is very accurate, you know, and it's lined up with the zodiac calendar. It's lined up with the precession of the Orion Nebula and points to the ascending axis of the Great Pyramid exactly to the rotational axis, the pole star. So these are things that you should be reckoning with, yes.
All right, Doc, let's give Brother Astro Kwesi a chance to respond to what you just said. Brother Kwesi?
Yes.
Yes, the gentleman is definitely, you know, on point with the things that he's referring to. For us to understand that our ancestors have calculated the movement of the stars, the movement of various cosmic events for countless thousands of years, especially when we look at right now going into, as I mentioned earlier, with the winter solstice. This is the birth of the sun at December the 25th. And our ancestors saw that the sun became, our great heroes became the personification of the sun, like Heru. And the Europeans copied that in the creation of the European Jesus from the character Serapis in making the European Jesus the birth of the sun at December the 25th. And here we see is the whole deification of the Europeans, which is actually a cosmic event. Even when you look at the three magi, okay, that they refer to as the three wise men, when I was at the lecture in the beginning of December in D.C., and many people came out, which I have visual documentation as my 32 years in documenting this, where people can clearly see what we're talking about. Because sometimes when you're talking on the radio show, a lot of this, you know, for especially if someone's hearing it for the first time, unless you have knowledge of it, like the gentleman who just spoke, you would understand some of these things that are going on. But the constellation of Orion, there are three stars in Orion's belt. Two of those stars are in perfect alignment, one's out of alignment. Right now, we can see that when you go outside, we see the constellation of Orion is rising in the east now. And the star system Ceres that our ancestors referred to as Sibyl Sipdod, when at December the 25th, those three stars will point exactly to that star. With, we see the three wise men is actually the three stars in Orion's belt. What we see is the whole Europeanizing of their image, which is a cosmic event, which is a stellar event based off of the three stars in Orion's belt. When we look at the Virgo, that became the Virgin Mary. When you look at the Jesus, that became the sun at December the 25th. Anyone to align that with the cosmos can see without question that they actually took from the ancient spiritual story of the Nile Valley and incorporated that into Western version of Christianity. Now, when I said earlier that the Gnostics, who were persecuted by the Romans, and when we speak of a Christ, we have to go back to a Gnostic Christ, okay? The Gnostic Christ taught that we all have a Christ, a spirit, not a Christ like a white Jesus inside of us, but I'm talking about a spirit. And our purpose was to evoke that spark within us and to become our own Ka, that the Romans took it and we called the Christ. The Gnostics called it the Kairos. So the Christ, that means we are all a Christ, or we are all a spiritual being, okay, within us. This is what our ancestors taught. It's the Romans who corrupted it for the deification of their own image. The black Gnostic Christ held that every man and woman had a divine spark, and through their own spiritual development could reach their own Ka. kares, okay, that the Romans called Christ, or reached their own ka, that the ancient Kemetic Africans in the Nile Valley, we refer to as ancient Egyptians, called spirit. The Romans are the ones that corrupted this, and from this day out, we have been worshiping this image of this European Jesus, which is actually Serapis, that was created at the Conference of Nicene in 325 AD. So it's sad that throughout my neighborhood, I see all these plastic white babies, okay, that black families have gotten out of their closet for this time of the year for the deification of a plastic white baby, but they don't deify their own black baby as a divine spark, okay, for their own spiritual development to become their own Koress or become their own Christ. This is sad. And this is where we are in a spiritual retardation, is what the Western world has done to African people, and especially by taking away our divinity. So when you can't see your own divinity, it's impossible that a people can have a unity to go into eternity, Brother Carl.
But, you know, Brother Quasi, you in some places on the continent, you go and I see, you know, they've got the Christmas tree and the white baby and the white Jesus as well.
Well, keep in mind, colonialism and neocolonialism and slavery and neo-slavery is the same thing. Keep in mind, that's where the Europeans came first. I was in Nigeria one time and saw a brother spraying snow in his window. In Nigeria, it doesn't snow in Nigeria, so we're even taught to worship the northern hemisphere. Okay, throughout my neighborhood here, you know, black people are putting icicles up and so forth. So it's even the deification of a northern climate. Even the climatic condition is where Europeans came from. We're taught to even worship that. Not only their own image as the deity, okay, but even the climatic place where they came from, we're taught to worship.
Wow, amazing. 800-450-7876, number to call. Speak to Brother Ashraf Quasi. Tell you what, Brother Quasi, you're going to take care of that cough, and we're going to take a break. We come back, we'll talk some more about the season of Christmas, what it is, and all the trappings that go along with it, and where it all started from, because a lot of folks, you know, don't know that it started way back when, that our folks, and it was corrupted, and the Europeans took it over and had us, worshiping trees and stuff like that, Christmas trees. Don't want to turn off your Christmas. Just want to inform you so you'll have information and knowledge as we go through this Christmas season.
Back to the Carl Nelson Show.
On Washington, D.C.'s 1450.
1450 WOL Radio.
And we're back, folks, with Ashraf Quasi, a lecturer, and of course he takes trips to Africa, Egypt in the spring, I think Ethiopia around Christmas time, so-called Christmas time. If you have got a question about the Christmas holiday, this is the man you need to pose a question to. You can do that by calling us at 800-450-7876, like Big Mike did in North Carolina. Big Mike, you're on with Brother Ashraf Quasi.
How you brothers doing? Brother Ashraf Quasi, how you doing, sir?
We got a little cold here, brother, but, this is a season for it.
Oh, you know those curves.
Trying to get over it before next week, as Brother Carl said. We got to go to Ethiopia next week.
Wow, I wish I could be a stowaway on the luggage or something, or a bouncer, or a bodyguard or something. But, brother, you know, man, I've been studying, I've been studying a little bit about ancient Kemet for a few years now, and I would just like for you to maybe speak on something that you already touched on. What is it ever going to take, brother? What is it ever going to take for our people to snap out of this psychosis that we're in, that we had no future, that we had no past, that we came from, you know, as the Bible biblically refers to us as heathen? And you know, I fight back on that every time I hear it myself. But what is it going to take, brother? And I know you've been doing the work. You didn't put the miles in. What is it going to take for our people to snap out of this inclusion, this illusion of inclusion? And I look at the politics today, and we see how we're being treated in Africa, in certain parts of Africa, where they're shipping guns in to kill us off, and in our inner cities. The same thing is going on. So I just can't understand why we should be sitting back waiting for something instead of proactive. And I know you're going to touch on this, brother. And keep up doing what you're doing, brother. Ashe, and anything I can ever do, please, you know, I'll be there when you call.
Thank you, my brother. Well, keep in mind, the reality of it if it took 2,000 years to get into this, it's going to take 2,000 years to get out of this. We as an African people in the Western world, specifically where we are as Africans here in this country, have been out of physical slavery for approximately a little over 147 years. So that's 147 years. Now, we are still in mental enslavement. Now, in, when we start to build institutions to help educate, to liberate, then that's when we'll start to find our way. But we still feel that we can build churches on every corner, but we can't build our own schools and institutions. When you see other ethnic groups come here from other places, the first thing they start to do is build their own institutions to educate their people and even employ their people. We have been caught into this slave mentality that we still have got to always look towards Europeans because of the culture of slavery. The slave only looked to the master for everything he needed. And we still do that to this very day because we are still functioning in a slave culture. Now, I know that's hard for it to deal with, but that's the reality. If anyone can prove me wrong, then prove me wrong. What culture have we been in this country? Many things that we interact with each other. In many cases, it comes out of a slave culture. Not the culture of our experience of who we are as an African people, where we came from, our culture. You know, there may be some culture that we see there, but for the most part, a lot of that culture that we interact with each other and how we interact with each other was due to the slave culture. So this is what we have got to start to do, what we're doing right now.
Thank you, brother.
Educating the community, Brother Carl's show comes on, and what does it say? Knowledge is power.
My brother, we're about to start a little something here in North Carolina, here in northeastern North Carolina, where we're going to start taking our youth. We're going to start dealing with 6 to 10-year-olds. And we're going to start teaching them this information. And
you know, I'll be in Charlotte, North Carolina on January 26th.
You'll be in Charlotte. See, we're on the other side. And we would love to have you here, brother. Mm-hmm. Actually, you would be very helpful in getting us and getting the message out here in this area. You know where we live. We're in the Bible Belt, brother, and it's a great resistance, even though our young brothers are still killing each other in the streets. And the antidote is for us to be educated. So I'll be keeping in touch, brother. I'll email you, and hopefully we'll invite you to come on the eastern side of North Carolina because we need you here, bro. Because a lot of parents have put their hands up with the youth; they're running wild. And I think if we start with the my theory is if we start with the younger ones, we can prevent this from happening in the future. We can slow this crime rate down in our community.
Well, you're right about that. The youth, they are the seed. They are, you know, and they are the seed that turns into the crop.
God bless, brother.
All right.
I'll keep in touch. I'll call you.
Thank you, Big Mike. Thanks for your call. 800-450-7876. Go to Johnny in Long Beach, California. Johnny, you're on with Brother Ashra Kwesi.
Hey, Carl, Brother Kwesi, you know what? You're speaking music to my ears, especially when you talk about Christmas. However, on Fox, they'll say that you're part of the war on Christmas. You're speaking music to my ears, but on Fox, they would say that you're part of the war on Christmas.
Well, I'm sure the banking system would not want to hear all of this, and all those people are making all the money. I'm sure they would not want to hear all of this, especially if people realize that the twinkles and lights and bells or for them to get caught up and spend all their money and to help pick up the gross national product. So, of course, they wouldn't want to hear all of this or make people at least think about what they're doing.
You're right, because I stopped celebrating Christmas in 1971. You know, I stopped for reasons, being away from home, you know, being in the military, and being that time of the year being so depressing, you know, and that's one of one of the reasons why I quit celebrating it. You know, the other one is that I married a Jehovah's Witness. So that, too, had something to do with it. But I never let Christmas be the thing that, when it came to my kids giving them gifts, because our thing was we give you a gift all year round. So that would dispel that. about giving gifts on Christmas. But there was something else you said about as far, you know, as far as teaching, you know, what we learned about Christianity. I don't know. Are you a Christian? Do you believe in God? Are you an atheist?
I'm not a Christian of the Western world or any sort or type of any fashion.
Okay, so you're not an agnostic either, right? You know, so you do believe in God.
Well, first of all, let's get clear on some things here. Okay. The reason why the world has the whole spiritual idea of God came from African people in the first place. The Western world would not even have an idea of God if it was not for African people. The very fact that we say amen at the end of our prayers, okay, many of us don't realize that is an African deity. That is an African god, to start with African people, that was taken by the Greeks. The Greeks are the ones who took Amun up out of Africa, and this is how we got Amun in our prayers. When we go to Timothy chapter 6, and it talks about Amun. Now, keep in mind, the image of Amun in ancient Kemet or ancient Egypt was always jet black. He represented the invisible spirit in all of us, the invisible spirit that permeates throughout all the universe. Now, here, physicists are talking about dark matter that's all around us, it's part of us, it's inside of us, it permeates throughout all the universe. And it's interesting that in Timothy chapter 6, it says that who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be the honor and everlasting power. Amen. So, no, African people, we are a very spiritual people. The problem is that our representation of God in the angelical realm is in a European image. As peace be upon him, another grandmaster teacher, Dr. Clark, would say, what Europeans did was colonize the afterlife. So our whole mental representation, every time we think of God, or we think of a white God, we think of white heaven. Why? Because we see white angels and all these things that they've created.
Hang on a second, Brother Kwesi and Johnny as well, because we've got to take another break. 800-450-7876, number to call, speak to Ashwa Kwesi, discussing Christmas.
Welcome to the Carl Nelson Show on Washington, D.C.'s 1450 WOL Radio, and live around the world on WOLDCnews.com.
And we're back, folks, with Brother Ashwa Kwesi discussing the season, Christmas, where all this started back in ancient Kemet. Also, just want to remind you, some of you can see some stuff like this tonight on ABC Network. And I think Christian Amanpour is going to do a special, you know, back to the Bible, and she talked about the flood and the all kinds of stuff in her special on ABC tonight. I think that's at 9 o'clock Eastern and Pacific time as well. But speaking about Pacific, we got Long Beach, California's Johnny on the line. Johnny, you got another question for Brother Ashwa Kwesi?
Well, yeah, no, actually, you know what? It's like, to be honest about it, no. I'm intrigued about the things that you're saying, Mr. Nkwesi, and I believe it's to be true. But when you talk to some ministers, it would seem to me that you would be in conflict with them. Have you had discussions with black ministers where was there any conflict that occurred?
Well, majority of ministers go to a white seminary school to learn a white theology. So of course, when you start talking about the spiritual stories that existed in Africa thousands of years ago, especially that I reveal to many brothers and sisters that I take back annually every year on temples and tombs, now they're totally oblivious to. They know nothing about, in many cases, I'm not talking about all ministers, but many ministers, they know nothing about the information I'm talking about. You guys, excuse me, because I'm suffering from a very bad cold right now. So, of course, they're going to be in conflict. Okay, because their whole Western teaching of a white theology, okay, a Western version of Christianity. In some cases, they don't even know about the African Christians, okay, about the African Gnostics that I talked about, that you have to be your own Christ, okay, and those who fought against tyranny of the Romans, and like Cyprian, who got his head cut off, okay, and like many other Christians, okay. We don't know about why, when we look at the Romans who were persecuting Christians, they don't tell you that they were persecuting African Christians. Where did Christianity start in the first place? Alexandria, Egypt. Why Alexandria, Egypt? Alexandria, Egypt is the place where they have thousands of scrolls, okay, when they built this Alexandria Library. that is now burned down by the Christians, like it's believed it was burned down by Theodosius in the 4th century A.D., but where did they get these scrolls? From ancient temples that are still there that we go to every year, like Ibn Asut, that is now called Karnak. Also, Ibn Rushd is now called Luxor, the Temple of Dendera, the Temple of Heredru, the Temple of Menefer, okay, the Temple of Innu. These were places that Aristotle plundered for Alexander, robbing the ancient tombs. It took thousands of years to create this knowledge from our empirical observation of Mut Neshit. There they housed those thousands and thousands of scrolls in the Alexandria Library. This was Alexander's wish. This is the sacred knowledge that African people created that took them thousands of years before the Western world was even in existence. The fact that we even write 2012, we're only adhering to a Western time. We're adhering to Augustus Caesar's time period. How can you count time down and then start time back up? At least that should make us think about something. So, of course, when you know, there are ministers who are thinking outside, okay, the European Western point of view. But like I always say, he who circumscribes your circumference determines the ambit of your thinking. So if we let the Western world circumscribe our circumference to think that nothing else existed until the Europeans and the Western version of Christianity, as well as the other religions, it's not just dealing with Christianity, but Judaism, Islam, and Buddhism, and Krishna, all of these things would not exist if it was not for the fallopian tube of the Nile Valley that gave birth to spirituality that led into the religions of today.
Brother Crazy, don't they have black seminary schools? Do they teach?
I'm sorry, was that again?
These black theologians, don't they have some black seminary schools as well? Or do they teach the stuff they teach at the white school?
For the most part, the umbrella of the Western Church is a white seminary school. Okay, that one goes to. Okay, to learn a Western theology. And that is primarily based off of the Western version of Christianity, for the most part, based off of the ecumenical conferences that created the Western Christianity that I talked about, starting with the Conference of Nicene in 325 A.D., and dealing with Chalcedon and Ephesus, which is the one that I talked about earlier, where they de-Africanized, okay, the goddess Aset, the prototype of the Madonna and Child, and the creation of the European Mary and Jesus. Now, I know that's hard for people to understand, but even if you just look at something very simple, Carl, Jesus is Greek. The Gnostics were the key people group of early Christians, okay, in Egypt, who were like a conduit, okay, during that time, okay, who drew from the ancient spiritual world of our ancestors and went back thousands of years, and they are the ones who understood the spiritual meaning. That's why the Romans persecuted all of them, because they did not want the world to know with how the Western world developed their ideas from what you see on those temples and tombs of ancient Egypt and ancient papyruses and scrolls that I talked about. In fact, when they took and unearthed, we go through this area of Nakamati. Nakamati is an area on our way to Aptu that I talked about earlier, which is the world's first holy city that I talked about, of the world's first Immaculate Conception. But going through this area called Nakamati is famous because it was an Egyptian who was traveling and found some of the earliest Gnostic writing. This is how we know about the early Gnostic writings and about their early spiritual teachings. And this is what the Western church, okay, the Byzantine Romans, okay, did everything to make sure that none of the Gnostic writings would be part of the biblical Bible that they were creating at this time, because it had the spiritual understanding of what the Christ represented and what I talked about earlier, what the Christ represented, that the Gnostic Christ, okay, the Gnostics understood, or the Gnostic Christ understood, that this was about a spiritual development that we all have within ourselves. It was not about the deification of we see as this Jesus character. The Gnostics, as I said, are the black Gnostic Christ. They held that every man and woman, they saw that we had our own divine spark within us for our own spiritual development. That spiritual development was a development of your ka, your spirit, who the Gnostics called the kares, who the Romans called Christ. But the Romans at that time were into the spiritual enslavement of humanity. And through the spiritual enslavement of humanity was through the deification of themselves. So they created
a Serapis Jesus. And that the image of that Serapis Jesus is the image that permeates the Western world and America to this very day. It started during the time when they created it. So they feared the fact that if the people understood that they all are a Christ, meaning that when you look at a Malcolm X or a Martin Luther King, these men were their own Christ. They rose up their spiritual development, okay? They knew they were going to die. They knew they were going to be killed. But because of what they were teaching, their ka, their spirit, this is what made them a Christ. This is what a Christ is. This is what the teachings of what our ancestors taught thousands of years ago. And that personified in the earliest teachings that go back thousands of years, that earliest teaching was Asar, Aset, and Haru. And Haru personified that Christ that we all had to become, our own Christ, okay, to rise up against tyranny and oppression, to rise up and develop our own spiritual development. And this time of the year, of the winter solstice, was to go through what they refer to as a kames, a spiritual birth. And this is what, but unfortunately, we can't see anything related to a spiritual birth because we're caught in material madness right now. And this is the basis and foundation of the Western church is based off of a physical resurrection, that you will rise up out that grave in your physical body and go into heaven, your flesh and your blood. This is morbid. This is the Romans teaching. Right. Where the ancient spiritual kames was based off of a spiritual birth. You will leave this physical body to the earth, but the spiritual body that they refer to, that once the ba, that they refer to as the soul, and the ka, okay, which is the spirit, once that came together, you became a kames, a spiritual birth. And this is what caused your whole spiritual ascension. But it started in your mortal life now through your own spiritual development. And this is what the Romans feared, that the Gnostics were teaching, that our ancestors took thousands of years to document this spiritual understanding. We are an ancient people. We African people were not just standing around waiting for Europeans and other people to come. So when you look at the various Krishna, okay, born of Immaculate Conception, that's a takeoff of ancient Egypt as well. When you look at Buddha, so that story goes around the world. When you look at Quetzalcoatl, okay, long before the Spaniards came there. That also is Madonna Child. How did it get there? That was carried. That spiritual story was carried. Like it was carried into Greece and Rome and became the Marian Jesus that we see today, a corruption, even though corrupted from Asar, Set, and Haru.
We must go to Raymond in Ohio. Raymond.
Yes, sir, Brother Carl. Look here, my brother. I'm going to nominate you for Black Man of the Year. I got people listening to you, brother, all over Ohio. They love your show. They just don't call in. You got a hell of a show, good brother. And to that brother.
Hello?
Yeah, Brother Kwesi.
I'm sorry. We missed each other there for a second. I had to run from the phone.
Yeah, okay. We got Brother Raymond in Ohio's got a question for you.
Yes, sir. Excellent truth, my brother. That's pure Black Messiah God truth right there. Okay, and I'm gonna make a little short comment. Then I'm gonna ask you two questions, and I know you can answer them. But when I tell Black people that I'm a God, that they look at me like I'm crazy, okay? And when I pull out Psalms 82:6, which says that I have said that ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High, they simmer down. Why are we as Black people scared to claim our Black godliness and Black goddessness? We are the original people on this planet. And in closing with my comment, I always read Francis Cresswell sing chapter about the Christmas tree, which is really a symbol for the cross and the Black man's private parts. When you decorate that tree, Brother Carl and my brother, the first thing that usually goes on that tree is the balls, which is representation of the Black man's private parts. What I'm getting at, during our forced enslavement. These Christian heathens would cut our balls off of the black man while he was hanging on the tree, and the Caucasian woman would take the testicles home for souvenirs, today known as Christmas gifts, okay? This is truth. You know it, brother. Then when they got rid of the tree, they burned it, just like they used to burn the black man in a pit. Now, tree hanging started during the Roman era, and the so-called Khazars, erroneously called Jews, was part of that tree hanging. Acts 10:39 states, it says that, "And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree." And when I was growing up, and I'm closing, they had four Christmas lights, okay? They was black, they was red, and they was green, and they had some orange in there every now and then. I'm 62, bro. I'm telling you some facts. Now, if you look at this Christmas mess, I call it X-mess. What color are the lights? All white. You don't even see the brown reindeer no more with that fairy tale. Everything is white. Christmas lights, Christmas trees, all the characters. And black people, we got to get away from this garbage. It ain't nothing but fairy tale. It ain't nothing but heathenistic, hellacious things to control our minds. And it's time for us to wake up. And my question to you, my brother, do you believe in a leap year? I'm Aquarius. How can a person believe in a leap year? Okay, this is 2013 coming, and if you believe in a leap year, when this leap to 2014, could you explain that to me? Because I'm a little bit into astrology and astronomy, which the black man, the black woman invented anyway, and I'll get off the phone, and brother, keep spewing that truth, good brother. Peace.
Well, you had a whole lot there. We still on, Carl?
Yeah, we're still on. Yeah, we're still on.
All right. Well, keep in mind, you know, when we look at the Julius Caesar calendar and the Gregorian calendar, these are all Roman calendars. And keep in mind, the world wouldn't even have a calendar if it was not for African people who made the first calendar. One of the areas that I go to, and Kemet and I take our group to, is in Kamombo. And in fact, a lot of things that we talk about, Brother Carl, I reflect to a lot of the reliefs in ancient Kemet over the years. And here in Kamombo, you see carved in stone one of the world's earliest calendars. And this is, like I said, long before the Julius Caesar's calendar and the Gregorian calendar. And this calendar was based off of the helical rising of the star Sibyl Sipti that the Romans called Ceres and the Greeks called Sothis. And it's the helical rising of that star that gave them the time of 4,236. When you add on to that, at least we should be writing 6,252. Why should we be writing 2012? Because we're adhering to somebody else's time. Europeans have always come to power and changed time. Even George Bush, okay, what did he do, change the clock forward, backwards? You know, so the time is really, you know, not in time at all. When we think about, you know, where we are. But we have to go back to how our ancestors calculated time, and that time was based off of stellar time, cosmic time, scientific time, not based off of the creation of mystical people and characters and so forth.
Brother Christian, question I was asking, when you go back to Egypt, and you go to Alexandria, Cairo, and the museums, and that trip along the Nile. Do you show the folks that you take with? Do you show them these things on inside these temples?
Oh, without question. In fact, anyone who's listening to the program now, you can go to YouTube, Kemet Nu. That's K-E-M-E-T-N-U. Okay, 6,240 I have there. And you'll see a lot of the clippings. I'm lecturing right there at the pyramids, temples, and tombs. Or you can go to our website at Kemet Nu, again, K-E-M-E-T-N-U.com. And there we and go under the little black boxes to your left, view videos in Egypt. And there I have several lectures where I'm lecturing inside of the pyramids and different places and tombs and so forth. And, again, so a person cannot go with us. At least they can journey there through the visual documentation that we have there. And then, of course, a lot of the information that we're talking about now, Carl, The African Origin of Christianity is a DVD we have on there. That DVD is a DVD that's documenting all the information that I'm talking about in relationship to what we're talking about now. And it's very well in detail with a lot of the documentation from the field research.
What about the incense? Was it frankincense, myrrh, and what else?
A lot of the rituals that we see in the Catholic, especially in the Roman Catholic Church, okay, a lot of these rituals came up out from ancient Egypt. Okay, when we see the incense, the burning of the incense, and the priest, okay, shaking the incense, this was done when the priests walked through the temples of Egypt, especially when you look at the Temple of Karnak, or that our ancestors referred to as Ipetosut. Here you have 134 massive columns. We can imagine when they walked down that nave, they had the sistrums where they would shake the sistrums, and then they had the people shaking the incense. So that's all part of an African tradition. In fact, when we go to Ethiopia to this very day, in those ancient churches of Ethiopia that we go to in Lalibela and other areas, these monolithic churches, you still see the priests there using the incense, okay, just like they did in ancient Egypt. When they came through the building into the sacred places, they would walk through these areas, with the frankincense and myrrh and all the various scents that they of incense that they have. So this tradition is still going on. And like I said, we'll be leaving for Ethiopia on the 27th of this month, going to Ethiopia, where brothers and sisters can see some of the early African churches that were built there. It still baffles the Western world of how these structures were built. But, of course, now they see the magnificent structures that were built in Lalibela. Then, of course, Europeans have come up with the fact that, well, Africans in Ethiopia didn't build this. Some Knights Templars actually built this. This is in Graham Hancock's book called The Sign and the Seal, where he actually literally put in there that Africans didn't build those churches, that the Knights Templars came and built the churches for Ethiopia and then went back to Europe. But this is part of the psychopathic racism, that any time you see something great in Africa, it had to be done by somebody else, not by Africans themselves. I mean, these structures were carved deep into volcanic rock, 40 feet down, and dug out into these structures that you see today. There are 11 of these churches in the area of Lalibela. So, you know, this is a magnificent place that we go to annually every year as well. And we see that when you travel to these areas, when I first traveled to Ethiopia back in the early 80s, you see the Black Madonna that they had in the churches. Now, they have removed the Black Madonna now, and the Europeans are coming there with their Western version of Christianity and paying the people to put up a white Serapis Jesus. And many people look and see the carvings are chiseled out in the churches. The Jesuits did that when they came there during the time of the Portuguese. They chiseled out the black angelical images and divinity of African people in the churches of Ethiopia during this time. So Europeans have always tried to destroy black divinity.
All right. Hang on a second, Brother Kwesi. When we come back, tell us, too, about Santa Claus, how that name came, and Father Christmas, or what do we call him, Nick, whatever they call him. But tell us about that. 800-450-7876. We'll take your phone calls for Ashra Kwesi on 1450 WOL right after this.
And now back to the Carl Nelson Show
on Washington, D.C.'s 1450.
1450 WOL Radio.
Now we're back with Brother Ashra Kwesi discussing the Christmas season. Got some folks who want to talk to you. But before we go to the phones, Brother Kwesi, if you can quickly tell us how they came up with the names Santa Claus and searching for St. Nick. How they came up with the names for that particular person?
Yeah, we were discussing that in the early part of the show in terms of how these are part of the pagan and heathen customs of Europe. And unfortunately, like I said before, we were so caught up into the whole trinkets and lights and bells and all these types of things that we have not looked at or wanted to see where these things came from. Like, for instance, the name Santa Claus, and that's the corruption of St. Nicholas. Now, St. Nicholas was a Roman Catholic bishop who lived in the 4th century. St. Nicholas, he was a bishop of Myra, a saint. He was honored by the Greeks and the Latin. Now, if you look at Santa Claus's nickname is Saint Nick. That's another name for Santa Claus. If you look at Webster's dictionary, okay, Saint Nick means the devil. So when you look at and see the whole idea of Santa Claus and see the whole Saint Nick, and you know, is all associated with the devil. But if you go back to an earlier origin in Greece, he was called Cronus, where he ate his babies. That's what Cronus did. He ate his babies. And now that is part of the Western art, that anyone who knows Cronus, he's eating his baby. You see the blood flowing down his baby. And when you look at the candy cane and you see the red and the white on the candy cane, that symbolized what Cronus had eaten his baby. When you, generally you have an elf or a baby attached to the candy cane. Now, I know this is some gross information for people to think about this time of the year. And we're caught up in the festivities of these things and feel like we're trying to destroy their holiday. But some of the things that I'm talking about here, Carl, is the same thing that's on the National Geographic talked about the other night. Okay, so it's not something that just Ashra Kwesi is saying. It's something that even they talk about, even on their own documentaries like National Geographic. Now, when you came out of Greece and went into Rome, okay, He is now called Saturnalia, okay? Saturnalia eagerly feared that the baby would overtake his throne, okay? Saturnalia became Santa Claus. So this is part of the pagan holidays that we see associated with Santa Claus. And then, of course, the Germanic tribe, okay, he was called Kris Kringles, okay, that represented an elf that ran around in a red suit. So these are the various names that we're familiar with, the names associated with Santa Claus. Now, I find it very interesting that last year, Wisconsin, I heard that they had banned, I don't know if this ban, if it came through or not, but they were planning on banning the people playing Santa Claus in Wisconsin because all the pedophiles come out during this time of the year, and they found that many of these people who were pedophiles playing Santa Claus were fondling the children. So if you look at the history of Santa Claus, okay, representing the devil, and you associate it with the things that's going on today, that's some serious stuff to think about when we see what's happening with the pedophiles coming out to play Santa Claus, Brother Carl.
Twitter question for you, Brother Kwesi. He says, here's a question that Johnny asked. He says, do you believe in God? Will you ask the Brother Kwesi if he knows exactly what a person means by the question, do you believe in God? He says, many people ask this question. Not many are able to explain what they mean by the question.
Well, when first people say, what is their concept of God, first of all? If I say, I believe in God from what their perception is. If they see God as a being, okay, looking down and controlling everything that we do. No, I do not believe in that kind of, there's a God up there in a human form looking down on us. No, I do not believe in that, okay. That is, for the most part, it's a Western version of the deification of the male gender. That's why God is always referred to as he. He did this for me. Okay, that's the Western point of view. And the African spiritual concept, God was referred to as God and Goddess. It was referred to as the spiritual balance. Now, I refer to, and the concept of God is beyond our comprehension, but in terms of a divine spirit, okay, of the universe, yes, I know that to be part of us. We are part of it, but it's beyond our human comprehension. So we bring it down to, for us to understand it, we humanize it. And most people see some God sitting up on a throne in a heaven looking down on us, okay, determining whether we're doing good or bad. Okay, no, that's a human understanding of God. I do not believe in that.
So you believe it's a spirit?
It's a divine spirit of the universe is beyond our comprehension to even understand that divine energy. If we look at it as dark matter, let's look at it as Kemet anthropomorphized Amun. If physicists are talking about this black matter, this dark matter that's all around us, okay, this is part of the divine spirit of the universe. African people brought God, okay? We are the last people to say we don't believe in a divine spirit of the universe. There's a divine energy of the universe. Now, whether you call it God, we call it by various names, okay? In Kemet, we may say Amun. We may say Amun Ra. We may say Ptah, depending on what period it is, okay? Another part of Africa, we may call it Engai or the Demere. So it's a divine spirit, okay? But if I see God as some type of being looking down on everything, no, I do not believe in that. But I think that there is a divine spirit of the universe that humanity
that started with African people refer to as various names that we call God today, that our ancestors called it by various names to recognize that divine spirit of the universe.
Brother Grace, we've got about a minute left.
Most of us see God, we see it through Michelangelo's painting, some white guy coming out to heaven.
What did our ancestors, we got about a minute left, so if you can do this real quick, what did our ancestors worship then? Because if there was no Jesus, there was no, before there was a Jesus Christ, before there was even different religions. So what did our ancestors worship?
They worshiped what they gave praise to was recognizing that Ka within that permeates throughout all the universe, that spirit within. It's interesting enough, it says the kingdom of heaven is within. Most of us spend all of our time looking out and don't realize that everything that we have is within ourselves.
All right. This
is what our ancestors gave recognition and praise to.
Brother Kwesi, we've got to roll out of here. Have a good, safe trip to Ethiopia. When you get back from Addis, we'll do this again. But tell folks how they can get in touch with you.
Well, of course, you can go to our website. That's KemetNu, KEMETNU.com. We do our annual trips to Egypt every summer in July, and we do our Ethiopia, which will be going next week, okay, in December. Or and also you can to our email. That's KemetNu@sbcglobal.net. Again, that's KemetNu@sbcglobal.net. Again, if you go to the website, you can order DVDs that can go more in depth with visual documentation, video produced by us, that can give you more clarity than what we talked about here. But it's an honor to be on your show, Brother Carl, for Communiversity. And again, I'm sorry.
Back to a statement that you discussed earlier, talking about your friend being killed by the LAPD. Of course, we've seen a nonstop siege, a nonstop war being waged on us in the street. Back to a statement that you discussed earlier, talking about your friend being back to a statement that you discussed earlier, talking about your friend being killed by the LAPD. Of course, we've seen a nonstop siege, a nonstop war being waged on us in the streets by police officers. And, you know, we still see that today. I mean, do you still have the same raw feelings that you have when you see things like our brother Eric Garner, our brother Mike Brown,
right.
our brother
mm-hmm.
Trayvon Martin, and all of our other brothers and sisters being killed in the streets? Do you still have that raw emotion? Because a lot of our brothers and sisters are seeing this, and some of us resort to a frozen psychological state. Others are filled with a righteous anger that makes them want to get out and do something, and again, like you said, commit revolutionary suicide. So, you know, how should we be responding to that? Before we get on to the topic of African spirituality and consciousness, I really want to touch on that topic because it's a big issue in our community right now.
Brother, every time it happens, or every time I see that on the news, I'm enraged. In fact, I'm enraged right now just watching just this afternoon where the Gestapo ran the brother down. I ran and put his knee into him and shot him. Yeah, and then another, put his and shot him in the back. Just like we saw with Oscar Grant in Oakland, or Amadou Diallo 47 times. Anger comes back to me over and over again. And I hate to see the intellectual debates over this, because if this was happening to any other ethnic group, there would not be any intellectual debate over this issue. Okay, we have to tell the truth, okay? The men would rise up and fight. We see that in all people, okay? And even back in 1970, because I was a victim, okay, at that time a friend was the victim because he was actually killed. I carried the scars on my head thinking that brains were going to be blown out at that day, okay? But the fact of the matter is that the only way this is going to stop is black man who's got to raise up. As Malcolm said, we're afraid to bleed, okay? This is the real reality. I mean, it's clear that we're being killed indiscriminately. We see that this is nothing but the meal plantation in operation.
That's right.
Instead of the rope, it's the bullet, okay? We're still in the crossfires, okay? We're still being crucified every day. So this is the real reality that we have to look at, is that, it's an all-out war. And let's look at it from a global perspective. We have to look at the fact that when you look at black people all over the planet Earth, okay, you see that they had been totally wiped out, okay, genocide. If we look at Tasmania, and see that
That's
every
right.
last one of those Tasmanians have been totally exterminated. All right. So history rewards all research, and unfortunately, we don't have a global perspective in looking at our situation here. What is the objective? What is the plan? Keep in mind that these Europeans got a plan for when the so-called new millennium. I say so-called because this is not 2015. We're just adhering to the white supremacy time
period.
That's
right.
Okay.
That's right.
They just count time down and didn't start up. But in reference to that time period when the so-called new millennium rolled around. And I noticed on the news they kept referring to this new millennium society. And I said, what is this new millennium society? White folks are planning for the next 1,000 years.
That's
so
right.
The question is, okay, are they planning for us to be here? Are we planning and making sure that, you know, we're going to have control of our own destiny? These are the things that we've got to look at and seeing that what we see today is the plan, okay, to exterminate black folks. This is what we've got to, you know, this is the real reality that we have to look at. My son-in-law, who in his yard, out watering his yard, okay, with my grandson, okay, by his side, okay, and here the Gestapo LAPD roll up on him with AK-47s. Now, wait a minute, he's in his yard. There's no white cop going to roll up in the white neighborhood.
That's right.
And point the gun at a white male with his white son on his side. Okay?
That's right.
This has been done. I mean, we see it. We see the killings every day. Okay? But, I mean, we don't hear about these kind of cases where the trigger hair, he's got his finger on the trigger, totally disrespect. We don't see the fact of how black women equally are being stopped, okay, and totally disrespected, and even to the point where they may not survive either. Just like we saw the case out on the freeway.
True indeed.
Where this white Gestapo literally beating the sister, okay, with his hand full fist. This is totally disrespect. There's no race, okay, outside of America that we would see this happening. When we see things going on around the world and so forth, and we see how other black folks are fighting back on the African continent, or whether we look at outside the African continent, and that is due to the atrocities that this country has inflicted upon them, and they
That's
are
right.
fighting back. That's the real reality. Whether it's the taking of their natural resources, or trying to outright exterminate them to even take over the land. This has been the MO of Europeans, and this is something that we don't want to look at. The fact that this country is here today is because the natural resources, they wanted this land, and the human resource to make it happen is us, and now it's the natural resources of Africa. We're looking at AIDS today, and now we're walking around thinking that AIDS came out of nowhere. White folks created AIDS. Why is AIDS in the areas of where you have the highest natural resources
That's
on
right.
the African continent?
That's right.
Why do we see AIDS in areas like in South Africa, okay, where they know that whites are the minority there, so how are they going to reduce that? And why is it that our people are the ones that got the AIDS in South Africa?
That's
or
right.
whether we're looking at Uganda, or whether we're looking at Tanzania, all the areas that you got the highest natural resources is where you had the highest AIDS count. As
right.
the Honorable Marcus Garvey told us in his book, The Philosophy Opinions of Marcus Garvey. What did he say in his book? The number one thing we had to watch out for was scientific annihilation.
Mm.
And because we haven't studied these great prophets, African prophets like him, now we are walking around in a daze like, what is going on? It's right in our face. I mean,
it's
for that brother right the other day, shot down in the back, right in our face. It's like, you know, it's like the spirit of the ancestors say, what are you going to do, black man?
Mm.
That's the question now. It's obvious now that they're out to really, I mean, to exterminate us.
Mm.
We are in the way. We don't realize that. And the only way this is going to stop and we're going to get respect is a black man who has got to rise up, retaliate back. So, of course, you can see that emotion is still in me when I start talking about this particular area, brother. It's like I live it all over again.
Right, and it should be in all of us. I mean, how can you see something that happens to one member of the diaspora and not have any feelings, not elicit any emotion? Because what happens to one of us in the diaspora affects all of us in the diaspora. It sets a precedent for white supremacy. And if they think they can get away with it over there, they'll damn sure bring it to our shores. And something else interesting that you discussed, and I was just doing some research on this yesterday, in talking about scientific annihilation and the way that white supremacy weaponizes biological agents. There were reports that have just been declassified and surfaced that said the white apartheid movement in South Africa researched ways to create viruses to specifically attack the black gene.
Right, you're absolutely right, brother. You know, we are living what we saw in science fiction movies yesterday is real today.
That's right.
Because what we saw in those science fiction movies is what they were planning, and they generally put it in their movies first. So when we look at you know, all these areas of viruses and all these particular things that are going on, this is all part of their MO. If we are picked up, if a black man is picked up, and because he's accused of robbing a bank, okay, and he is sent to prison, okay, let's say he does time and he gets out, and he does not want to go back to prison. But he just happens to be in the area where a bank is robbed, but he didn't rob the bank. Now, the question is he going to jail? Yes. Why is he going to jail? Because they say he's got an M.O. All right?
That's
his
right.
M.O. from his record tells him that he's a bank robber. Is that correct? Well, why can't we use that same analogy? Why can't we, if we look at white folks' M.O., okay, you got an M.O., oh, you put smallpox on Native Americans' blankets, okay,
right.
to wipe them out. Okay, so you got an M.O. of this. You got an M.O. of exterminating people. You got an M.O. of dropping hydrogen bombs on the Melanesian Islands in the South Pacific, okay, to use their island for a test ground and put them back on it to see what the radiation and leukemia would happen to them. Okay, you got a record of literally killing millions of our people on the African continent. You got a record of enslaving our people on the African continent. You got a record all over the planet Earth where you have gone. You got a record of exterminating people. So how can we look at these white folks' record and think that we're safe here?
True indeed.
If we look at that MO, and this is a real reality that we have to look at. Keep in mind that we don't know what has been said in behind closed doors. Okay,
that's right.
We don't know what's been said behind closed doors and said, okay, now it's time for to step it up. Okay, with the killing of black men, we need to step it up. Okay, maybe it's been going on all along, you know, but now you got the technology of cameras and all these things and people recording it. And I know that a lot of the talk shows and so forth are responding to what they're seeing in these radio and these cameras and so forth. And it's good that people have filmed these things.
That's right.
Okay. There's reports that we haven't even gotten. Even in 1975, when my friend got killed, just in that year, there were over 800 black men who were killed just in that year. Now, from January up to now, we're talking about 2015, there's been over 300 black men killed since they have been recording it from January to now. Now, when CNN came out, and this is one point here, I think this is very important. CNN came out 2 years ago. All right, now CNN, this is white media news, came out and said that more black men die in America, killed in America, than in the Iraq and Afghanistan war put together.
True
now, that
indeed.
Tells us something, right? That means that we're at war.
True indeed. True indeed. Statistics I pulled up last night from 1882 to 1968, 3,446 black men, women, and children were lynched. Now, of course, that's on the record. We know a lot of those lynchings went unreported.
Right. There were brothers who were burned, we never found,
right.
and buried, and, you know, those unaccounted for.
That's mm-hmm. right. Since 2005, more than 5,000 black men, women, and children have been killed by the police. So the numbers that we have since 2005 alone far exceed the numbers of black men, women, and children who were lynched from 1882 to 1968. So
right.
that should tell us something as well. That should tell us something as well. And we are indeed at war. But I believe a large number of our people don't respect that fact. because, you know, to
well, we're living at illusion of inclusion. That's the reason. I mean, that's the reason why. I mean, we're kept with things to do, so we don't have time to think. So it's all kind of trinkets. People are being hypnotized. Most people are looking down at devices now, okay? That's where they spend most of their world at, looking at devices now. There's another young man out in L.A., Brother Siddiqui Bakari, you know, he got a, you know,
transhumanism. Very well.
Yes, I mean, I think he's ahead of his times. You got a piece on transhumanism to show how to move the whole human spirit and emotion out of ourselves to transmit that into technology. And by doing that, it will numb us to anything that will happen to us.
True indeed.
If we understand that. If we understand. And then it becomes just an intellectual debate. You know, it just becomes the whole, a debate about the issue instead of us mobilizing around our communities and making sure that we retaliate when these kind of things take place. And that's the real reality.
True indeed. True indeed. You know, a lot of our brothers and sisters outside of the community, they have no idea what they would even be fighting for. If they picked up arms today and fought, they wouldn't know what they were fighting for. And it's because a large part of our cultural heritage has been lost. And so educate.